going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
We have a trade. So, right before the break, we had this report from Diana Rossini. Hours away from the start of the first round, Browns GM Andrew Berry has been actively listening to offers for the number 2 overall pick, and many believe he's willing to move back a few spots. Cleveland has holes to fill and have just 4 top 100 picks to address them. That was the information from Diana Rossini right before we went to break. During the break, 2 minutes ago, Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, trade, Houston Texans, and Cleveland Browns. But it has nothing to do with the second overall pick. Now, does this set the stage for something? I don't know. Is this one domino falls and then another domino falls potentially? The Texans have traded a 2025 fifth round pick, which is 166 overall, and a 2027 fifth round pick. And the Browns trade 3 2025 picks, one which is in the sixth round at 179th overall, one also in the sixth round at 216 overall, and the 2025 seventh round pick, which is 255 overall. So that's the first trade, I guess, of this NFL draft process. Not one that makes you go, ooh, ah. It's like, who really cares? I have updated odds, by the way. You guys want to take a guess? Ashton Jeanty. Since we are the Ashton Jeanty show on the Infinity Sports Network and, quite frankly, all national media, no one has talked more about Ashton Jeanty than your boy. Who do you think is the favorite right now in the betting world to draft Ashton Jeanty?
Sounds like it's got to be the Jaguars at 5, but...
Hold on. Don't give me a butt, because then you're going to list 4,000 teams. So you're just going the Jaguars.
I'm going Jaguars at 5.
Jaguars.
I, too, am going Jaguars.
The Jaguars have the second highest odds for Ashton Jeanty. They are at plus 125.
They were just at minus 230 like a half hour ago. This is going crazy.
Yeah, no, these were 10 minutes ago from Kay Adams via FanDuel Sportsbook.
I mean, Jeanty's on a meteoric rise. So are we going Patriots?
The Patriots have the fourth highest odds. Stu?
All right, I'm going to throw one out there. What about the Bears trading up from 10 to get Jeanty?
Ding, 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 ding. Stu, come on down to collect your prize. We'll give you an Odyssey mug right here. That was game used.
Oh, great.
The Bears at minus 180. The Jaguars at plus 125, the Raiders at plus 500, the Patriots at plus 1,400, the Cleveland Browns at plus 2,500. You want to know who has the 6 highest odds to get Ashton Jeanty right now? You think any of you guys could get this? This one makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Steelers.
No. I'll tell you the conference. NFC. You'll never get this.
Tampa Bay Bucks.
Nope. Stu?
Cowboys?
Nope. You'll never get this.
Okay. Eagles.
Right ballpark, but no. Team has an established running
back. Not the Lions.
No, not the Lions. Think two running backs, though.
San Francisco?
Nope. Not San Francisco. And I'm a big fan of this guy. You've met him, Samter.
Falcons.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
You know why? Because the Falcons make a shocking pick every year.
At plus 3,100. And Bijan Robinson, he's only joined us twice, so we can't say friend to the show. But when Bijan Robinson sat down with us at the Super Bowl this year, and he goes, oh, I remember doing this show last year. Because I ran to the bathroom and came back in like less than a minute and a half when we had said, you have a minute and a half left to break. He goes, oh, I can make that there and back. And I go, okay, let's see. And then he made it clear that he also washed his hands
between
when he went
Bijan
to the bathroom.
And Tyler Allgeier, there's no way they could go running back. If the Falcons go running back, that would be a worse pick than signing Kirk Cousins and then drafting Michael Penix.
Well, that's like working out right now. I think people highly believe that Michael Penix is going to do well this year. It just, the process was all funky.
But here's the thing. Had the Falcons not drafted a quarterback last year, we would have given Kirk Cousins his opportunity and his shot, and no one would be talking about it. Maybe he would have struggled last year, but then you chalk it up to, hey, he's just 1 year off of a torn Achilles. Give him some time. He'll be fine.
And he had a great moment early in the season against the Eagles. They didn't play well for three quarters. I was there, though, at Lincoln Financial Field, and he matriculated that ball right down the field at the end and put it in the end zone. But yeah, I would be shocked. Also, I think I could use this as a side note. Maybe Ashton Jeanthi does go to the Bears tonight and the Bears trade up to get him, right? That's been speculated. I don't know how much stock I put into these pre-draft odds. Because I remember Will Levis. It was, oh, he's like the betting favorite for about an hour to be the number one overall pick. And then it was, oh, if not, then he'll definitely be going like in the top five. He fell right out of the first round. So I have no clue what to anticipate, what's going to happen. But if I'm Chicago, I would absolutely use a ton of resources to move up in this draft when, I don't want to say you stabilize your offensive line, but you enhance your offensive line. People think that this offensive line is going to be so much better than last year. I've been saying this for months. I would like to see either Tyler Warren or Ashton Jeanthi go to Chicago. And if you can't get them at 10, because I'd be surprised if either of those players are there at 10, maybe you do move up in the draft and say, bleep it, we're going to go for it. And look what happened with Ben Johnson. He had David Montgomery, and he also had Jahmyr Gibbs. And a lot of people criticized them when they took Jahmyr Gibbs at 12, and they've had a nice 1-2 punch in Detroit. So then you could bring in Jeanthi in Chicago, right? And he would be the bell cow back because, like, the other Chicago running backs, you don't have another, like, running back there that everyone's like, oh my goodness gracious, it's unbelievable. I think, is DeAndre Swift still there in Chicago? Look up their running back depth chart right now. But the point is, you would have a bell cow back with a quarterback right now that is really a guy that could be impressive, and people thought it's a generational talent. Plus, you have DJ Moore and Rome Odunze. It's a fun offense.
Yeah, you have DeAndre Swift, Roschon Johnson, Travis Homer, and Ian Wheeler.
Yeah, so basically you have DeAndre Swift, who, let's be real, DeAndre Swift's had a nice career. Oh, and he was in Detroit. Excuse me, he was the guy that was in Detroit when they drafted Jahmyr Gibbs. And they ended up bringing Montgomery over from Chicago. But DeAndre Swift's like a nice player in this league. His best year was in Philadelphia. No crap, because he played behind that offensive line. It's like Miles Sanders. When was your best year? In Philadelphia. When he signed with Carolina, I never expected much out of him. So I'm for the Bears moving up in this draft and getting Ashton Jeanthi. And you could pair in that backfield Caleb Williams and Ashton Jeanthi. That would be awesome.
I know you kind of discussed this earlier in the week, but if you can't get Jeanthi, you can't get Warren. What Line. Do you think about Omarion Hampton at 10 for the Bears? I mean, you look at his numbers, man. 1,500 yards, 1,600 yards, back-to-back 15 touchdown seasons, 6 yards a carry over the last 2 years. The dude's a beast.
And he could catch the ball out of the backfield, too. I don't think it's a bad idea. I think you could trade back, though, and still get him. I do. So the quote that Mac Brown gave me, I just searched it on Twitter. Mac Brown told me Omarion Hampton is as good as any running back he's ever coached. And he's coached Ricky Williams, right? That's pretty damn impressive. And now you could smoke marijuana if you want. legally, in most places. So even if Marvin Hampton liked a little puff, puff pass, look at that draft analysis. That was a problem for Ricky Williams staying in the NFL. I would be fine if the Bears move back a little bit and then they go get Amari and Hampton. But at 10, probably a little bit too early. Now, with that being said, the worst case scenario for the Bears is if somehow you have Banks, Membu, and Will Campbell off the board with Genty off the board and Tyler Warren. Then maybe you just go draft a whatever the best defensive player is, because of all the offensive players that would be going in 5 out of the first 9 picks before you get to 10. So that's something that's on the table as well. All righty, let's do this. Do we have NFL music right here? Stu, I'm thinking of a number. 1, 2, or 3?
2.
It is 1. Stu has the first pick. Samter, I'm thinking of a number. 1, 2, or 3?
3.
2. You have the second pick. And then I had the third pick. Basically, I wanted the third pick. That's why I kind of just did it in a very creative fashion. If any of you guys actually guessed the number, I would have said, oh, what pick do you want? And you get to make that decision. So, Stu, you have 1. Samter has 2. I have 3.
Is that correct.
Is that what we just did? Sorry, a little short-term memory problem right there. What's your first pick here, Stu?
I'm going Travis Hunter. I think he is the best guy. He can play 2 positions. He'll definitely excel at 1. It's just a matter of if he'll excel at 2. So he's my guy there.
And these are the best players in the draft. Who we think will be the fine 9, the 9 finest players in this NFL draft. Samter.
I'm glad he went Hunter 1, because it's clear that Abdul Carter is going to have the best career of anybody in this draft.
All righty. I am going to go Mason Graham. I'm going to take Mason Graham. Now, I'm high on Mason Graham. I don't know how high you guys would have been on Mason Graham, so I did think about passing on Mason Graham and seeing if I could then get him when I have to pick again, but I don't know if he still would have been on the board. But I will go Mason Graham, and then I get another pick here, and I am taking Ashton Genty. Samter.
That's disappointing. I was kind of hoping that Ashton Genty would fall through the cracks.
You really think I would pass on Ashton Genty?
Yes.
I have been the most positive person about Ashton Genty, I think, in the history of sports talk radio.
This is very true.
Yeah, figuring that most people only knew who he was the last year. But,
I am going to go with the Jets' first-round pick at number 7, Mr. Tyler Warren.
Would you be disappointed the Jets don't take Tyler Warren?
They need offensive line help, but we've drafted so many offensive linemen in the last 2 years, or last 3 or 4 years in the first 2 rounds. I'm just tired of it. So I would be, unless someone else like fell to them. But like, I mean, maybe Tet McMillan, we could use another wide receiver. But I love having that like weapon at tight end. So I'd be disappointed, but I'd be okay if they went O-line. It would just be,
oh my God,
just enough is enough.
I went to search the Jets because I was trying to find this story. Well, first off, I think there's a lot of things to unpack with what Samter just said. You are against, you prefer the tight end over the offensive lineman is what you're saying.
I'm not against offensive linemen, but I don't want an offensive lineman.
Well, I find it funny. That's another fight that you and BT have had, because BT was adamant, even though he picked Tyler Warren, he was like, I want them to take an offensive lineman. So not the first time Samter and BT have disagreed. But also, I kind of look at that, and I don't think it'd be the craziest thing in the world if they did take an offensive lineman tonight. But I would say if you want to put Justin Fields in the best position to succeed, you could argue it is offensive line, but you put Tyler Warren and also Garrett Wilson. Now, notice I didn't say Breece Hall. Have you seen the Breece Hall stuff today at all? Have you?
Not all of it.
There's speculation that the Jets could actually trade Breece Hall tonight.
I've seen that for the past couple of weeks, that there is some buildup.
So it was Josina Anderson. She said a league source has been hearing that the Jets could possibly be trading Breece Hall, or he's possibly available, was the wording for a trade. And Breece Hall, I've always said this, I think I had a good idea a few years ago. We should have an emoji analyst, like someone that just does analysis based off emojis. Because Breece Hall did the peace emoji today. So does that mean like, oh, I want to go, or I know I'm getting traded, or just him playing into this whole, hey, I'm going to play along with people now speculating that I'm not going to be on this team this year?
I think the reality is he's entering the final year of his rookie contract. He was a second-round pick, so they don't have the fifth-year option on him.
Wants more straight cash?
And at the end of the day, like how, like unless you're a Derrick Henry or
Didn't he didn't do a piece. It's actually worse. Fingers crossed.
Oh.
So now this could be, I thought it was a peace emoji at first, and then I zoomed in, I go, oh, that's not a peace emoji. It's finger crossed. So now Breece Hall's like, get me out of this hellhole of the New York Jets. Fingers crossed, please. Or it's, hey, fingers crossed, I don't want to go. I hope I'm not going to
trade. It could be that. Could be that.
What do you, Stu, let me, you've been in disastrous situations in the NFL. What do you think's more likely?
Yeah, a lot.
you think it's the first or the second part? Breece Hall, you think he's begging to go or begging to stay?
Begging to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's kind of where that's going.
Maybe the Jets take Omarion Hampton with the 7th overall pick. All right, anyway. Santa's going back to rooting for the Chiefs. Off the board so far, Stu. Best nine players in this draft. Stu goes Travis Hunter. Samter goes Abdul Carter, Tyler Warren. I have Mason Graham and Ashton Jeanty. Stu, give us your next pick.
All right. My first pick here, I will go with Will Campbell. I know there are concerns about the arm length, but everything else seems to check out as a generational type of offensive lineman, whether that being a left tackle or left guard. So I'll go Will Campbell with my first pick here.
And then your second pick? Are you going to reach here?
Depends what you mean by reach. I'm going to go Cam Ward.
It was a Will Campbell joke.
I see.
Yeah.
I'll go Cam Ward. I know he hasn't gone yet. And
smart.
Some people have him as like a mid-first-round pick or a late-first-round pick, whatever. But he's the first guy taken. He's a quarterback. I'm not confident he's going to be better than the guys ahead of him. But, look, he's a first pick.
And to be clear, he's my first guy out. So I've given my top five rankings now for the last few months. And it was Abdul Carter 1. Travis Hunter 2, Mason Graham 3, Ashton Jeanty 4, Tyler Warren 5. I think the sixth best player in this draft is Cam Ward. All right, Sam Tios, one final pick.
So my head is telling me Tet McMillan, but my heart as a Sun Devil fan cannot pick Tet McMillan. I'm going to go.
The most bizarre fandoms, by the way, is Sam Tios. Like that. My heart, my Sun Devil's heart is telling me I can't go Tet McMillan.
I can't go Tet McMillan. I can't take Tet McMillan. I've seen too much about him. He had that video, if you saw the interview, where he's like, I don't watch film. I don't like football. Yeah. I don't watch football. Like, that bothers me. Like, guys who just don't like this sport, it's not for me. So I'm going to go. Georgia has just been so good with all these guys on defense who've come into the league, Nolan Smith and Jordan Davis. And so I'm just going to have to go with it and go Jalen Walker.
Part of me wants to get real funky here and just go Malachi Starks off the Georgia stuff. Stu, you kind of like that opinion, right?
I like that. That's great.
But I'm not going to do it. You want to know why? Because I'm looking at this board. Stu, he respected an offensive lineman. Samter wants no part of an offensive line. I respect the big fellas. And this game is won in the trenches. So I'm looking at this draft. I already took Mason Graham. Is there another defensive lineman that I could go with? Yeah, there's a few out there. Probably more edge rushers, if I'm being honest. But I'm just going to go with a safe pick here. And I'm going to take the big tackle out of Missouri, Armin Membo. That's what I'm going to end up doing here. So the nine best players in this draft. Oh. Can I take a timeout? Can I actually just reverse my pick?
Nope.
Ooh.
Was that already submitted?
Nope. The card has been submitted. The commissioner has announced it. You are stuck with Armin Membo.
Okay. Everything I just said, throw it in the trash. Folks.
There's a guy that I have an idea of who you might be thinking of.
Take a guess.
A guy who was a top five projected pick before the season who's kind of fallen because of injuries.
It is not Will Johnson.
Ah, okay.
But a possibility. That's not a bad thought.
Your favorite quarterback in this draft, Jackson Dart.
Oh, yeah, Jackson Dart.
You want me to take a dart and throw it at your head?
It's got to be Shador.
Yep.
Yeah. I considered him.
Coach Prime, I'm a believer. I apologize. It's a bad job out of me. Alrighty. So the nine best players in this draft, according to us in a draft. Travis Hunter was one. Then it was Abdul Carter 2. Then it was Mason Graham 3. Then it was Ashton Jeanty 4. Then it was Tyler Warren 5. Then it was Will Campbell 6. Then it was Cam Ward 7. Then it was Jalen Walker 8. And it was Armin Membo for a hot second, and then Shador Sanderson at 9. It is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We will take a break. We'll come on back. We'll update you some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We'll get to a news brief next. Also, by the way, funny thing here, Stu, Dimitroff was here. and Andrew Perloff were here, you know what they both told me? They said they love the temperature in this studio. That's what they both told me. They said at 66
degrees. That's like a hot
take
around here.
It was perfect. It was sensational. They said, oh, we like the temperature in this studio. It was
thermos
wonderful.
Decade.
Yeah, I'm just saying. All right.
Anyway. Did they like the chairs?
Yes, they liked the chairs. They thought the chairs were good. They updated new and improved chairs. We'll get to a news brief next.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
All righty, news brief time. Ian Rappaport. So Aditi just said on CBS that she's hearing he could fall out of the first round. Well, Ian Rappaport was on the Rich Eisen show, which comes on right before we go live at 3 p.m. Eastern. You can hear Rich from 12 to 3 p.m. Eastern time, Monday through Fridays on the Infinity Sports Network. And Ian Rappaport said there's still a chance that Shedeur Sanders could actually go three to the New York Football Giants.
I believe he's in play at three. I don't know if they're going to take him, but I believe he's in play. And he should be in play because if you're the Giants and you need a quarterback, and this is a quarterback who is worthy of going in the first round, and there are definitely people who believe he's a franchise quarterback. Not everyone, definitely people. Then there is sort of some wisdom to be like, just take him. Whatever you think, just take him. And quarterbacks have been overdrafted for years, and some pan out, and some do not. So I believe Shedeur is in play at three. If he's not taken at three, then it gets really interesting. And then it threatens to take over the draft like Johnny Manziel did, where like every pick, you're like, is this where Shador's going to go?
I think that actually starts with the Saints. Like, they'll talk about it, obviously. Shador will be talked about every pick until he goes tonight. He's the biggest star in this draft. Not the best player, the biggest star in terms of name recognition. And number one, what are they going to say? Oh, is this the right move? Cam Ward or Shador Sanders? Two, what are they going to say? Oh, Travis Hunter. Should Cleveland have taken Shador Sanders? Or can they go get him later in the draft? Three, Abdul Carter. Should the Giants have taken Shador Sanders? Or could they go get him later in the draft? Four, it will be, oh, can anyone trade up to four but the Patriots for Shador? Then after that, the Raiders will be talked about with Shador. And once he doesn't go to the Saints at nine, then it's going to be every NFL insider. Schefter, Pelissero, Ian Rappaport, Jay Glazer, Jordan Schultz. What they're hearing on when Shador could go, and it's going to be the Steelers at 21, or maybe someone jumps up in front of the Steelers at 18, 19, or 20. By the way, Stu, your team is in the news. You have any idea what this is?
I can't imagine it's good.
From the Las Vegas Raiders official Twitter account. Are you nervous?
If it's from the official account, no.
Eyeball emojis.
Okay, eyeball emojis.
That's what they just did. They just put out two eyes.
Oh, did they? Oh, jeez. Okay.
What do you think that is? Raiders at six. First comment. As a Raider fan, I speak for all of us when I say, we want you to trade up for Shador. Now, that can't actually be a Raider fan. Because they could get Shador if they want him.
Jackson Dart right at six.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
If this is how the first five picks play out, and I think I've asked you this before, but the answer's changed so many times. But if the first five picks play out as this, one Cam Ward, two Travis Hunter, three Abdul Carter, four Will Campbell, five, let's say Ashton Jeanty.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you want to take in six?
Am I allowed to try to trade back to try to get picks because I don't love anyone that is there?
You could have whatever you like.
My first option would be trade. My second would be Membu. And then I guess Mason Graham third.
No Shador?
Yeah. Okay. Shador won, but I've kind of wiped that totally out of my brain because I really just don't see it happening.
Okay. That's fair.
But you're right. Shador would be one, and then trade back would be two in that scenario.
Now, I haven't heard this yet. We played you some Aditi Kinkobale audio from CBS Sports earlier. Is this slug line correct? Dart's floor is nine or is it ceiling? The floor is nine? Well, so that's where she thinks is the latest he could drop, if I understand that correctly? All right, let me hear this one.
What I'm being told is that Jackson Dart is not going to fall beyond that number nine pick and the Saints. Somebody could potentially go above the Saints to try to go get him, but that's not what I'm hearing right now, that is a pick that Kellen Moore really liked.
Too bad that wasn't Diana Rossini, because then I could really sound like Chase Daniel right there. Huh? Like, who? It was McShay who talked about how much the Saints love Dart. If Jackson Dart is the ninth overall pick in the draft, I'm not yelling at Aditi's information because it may be right. But if that's the case, what effing world do we live in? I'll lose my mind. You cannot take Jackson Dart with the ninth overall pick. That would be insanity to me. So, and someone could move up in front of the Saints at nine. Oh my God. So can I ask a question? And I used to not be this way. What I'm being told, who's telling you? I know you're not going to tell us your sources, but who's telling you that the floor is nine for Jackson Dart? Jalen Milroe up at Adams with Kay Adams and the possibility of going to the New York Football Giants.
I bet you Malik Nabers, who you're friendly with, went against him a bunch too, but I bet he's pushing the Giants front office to draft you.
Yeah.
You know he is.
Yeah.
Why are you laughing?
Might be true.
I can't imagine you and Jameis and Russell in the quarterback room.
Hey, look, that would be the funniest room in the NFL. Like, hands down, that would be the best room.
That would be a fun quarterback room. Because Russell Wilson, Mr. Limited, And then you got Jameis Winston. Is the crab legs right that he stole? And then a bunch of other things, but Jameis Winston, anytime he speaks, he gives you a crazy quote. And Jalen Milroe is hysterical. The Roll Tide stuff that he does is absolutely awesome. It seems like the Giants, if they're going to get a quarterback tonight, it's going to be Jackson Dart. I think they should go for Shador Sanders. If they can't get Shador Sanders, then I would go with Jalen Milroe. Jed Fish, this is the Unafraid Show. He coached Tet McMillan at Arizona, and he compares Tet McMillan to Mike Evans.
T-Mac reminded me so much in our third year. Like, you kind of have to grow into being Mike Evans, let's call it. His ability to drop his weight is similar to Mike Evans. His ability to run all the routes in a route tree is similar. And I really feel like somebody is going to take T-Mac, have a 10-12 year run if they want to, with one of the best wide receivers that we'll see.
If I could get Mike Evans, if that's guaranteed to me, then Tet McMillan should be a top 10 pick. Because Mike Evans is one of the safest football players we've ever seen. Let's go to Matt Leinart. I don't know why we're going to Matt Leinart today, but this probably is funny. This on TikTok. He has a surprising message to Arizona Cardinals fans.
All right, so this message is to all the Arizona Cardinals fans. We're here in Green Bay, Wisconsin for the draft. And honestly, it just brings back a lot of great memories. 2006, I was drafted 10th overall to Arizona. It really, truly changed my life forever. And I just wanted to tell you fans, the Bidwells, and everybody in that organization that... I'm sorry. Truly, I'm sorry that it didn't work out. It's a shame.
Is it too late now to say sorry? Like, play a little Bieber behind that. Was that, so you saw that, Samter. Was that genuine, or was that him with basically a bleep-eating grin on his face and just not really caring?
He didn't have the grin on his face, but the more you listen to it, there's no way that it could have been legitimate.
It didn't seem sincere.
No, it seemed like he's like, hey, screw you guys, like, whatever, but...
Bizarre. Kincaid and Salchunas on 97.5 The Fanatic in Philadelphia. They had Adam Schefter on. Schefter said GMs are afraid of Howie Roseman.
Last week, you said, are their teams scared of doing business? I said, no, they're going to call. They're not going to shy away from it. But I will say this. They are mindful of his track record, because I did have one GM say to me this week where, hey, this guy was talking about moving back and who would come up, and Philly came up, and the guy goes to me, he was joking around, yeah, we're blocking all calls from the 215 area code into our facility.
Well, good thing we also have the 609 and 610. You
never
know.
And Howie has burners, I'm sure. You know
yeah,
that.
Exactly.
Honestly, if I was a team, I would think twice, maybe even three times, maybe even four times. I would not do business with the Eagles or the Chiefs. Because look how great those teams are right now. Like the Bills last year, getting that deal done with the Chiefs in the draft. Why would you trade with the Chiefs? I just wouldn't do it. Let's go to Joe Thomas. He was on with us yesterday, and he talked about the possibility of the Browns getting Shador Sanders and Travis Hunter. Could you imagine if they find a way to also get Shador, and you get Shador and Travis Hunter on the same team once again?
Unfortunately, I never made the playoffs in my career as a Brown, and so as Browns fans, we always say, the draft is our Super Bowl, and if that happened, we would win the Super Bowl this year.
Wow. You would be that excited about it.
Yeah, I really like Shador. I mean, I don't think he's the right pick at number two because of all the things I said about Travis Hunter, but I think as a quarterback, I think he's got the most important trait, and that's decision-making and accuracy. You can turn that skill set into a great quarterback in the NFL. Now, are you going to be Patrick Mahomes without a huge arm and amazing athleticism? No, but look throughout NFL history at the best quarterbacks. What sets them apart is always their decision-making and their accuracy. Guys who are self-made, like the Tom Brady's, the Drew Brees's, that's what they did best. And if you can do that, you can have great success at quarterback. And that's what I see with Shador Sanders.
And let's get one more from Joe Thomas. He sounded off on the whole Will Campbell short arm stuff.
I got some PTSD because that's why I wasn't going to be a good NFL player. And I always found it so funny. You know, you got these measurables, and, you know, obviously always faster is better, stronger is better, longer arms, bigger hands are always better. But there's such a flaw in the measurement system for a lot of these combine tests. And, you know, arm length is one of them. And I'll try to keep it brief because I've got a lot of scars about this one. But They measure from, like, the point of your shoulder to the tip of your middle finger. And when they say you have short or long arms, the difference is, like, 1.5, 2 inches. So if there's a guy that's got really long middle finger, he might have short arms, but he's got a long middle finger, and they call him long-armed. When really, if you look at how you play the position, nobody's poking the defense with their middle finger. Like, you're striking them with a bent arm. You're hitting them with the palm of your hand. And so, like, having 1 or 2 longer arms, yeah, it's better to be longer than it is shorter in life in general. But, like, it really is. It's irrelevant. Your arms and your hands are just a way to connect the defensive player to your feet. And you control people with your feet as an offensive tackle. So the whole arm length thing, to me, is ridiculous.
Great stuff there. Joe Thomas joining us on the show yesterday. All righty, I will squeeze in one non-football point today. And it's the Golden State Warriors and the Houston Rockets. That series now tied up at 1 apiece. And Steve Kerr, he wasn't happy that the fans were chanting F you Draymond last night. Listen up to Steve Kerr. Wah.
It's not ideal when a crowd is, you know, chanting F you Draymond. It's just, I don't know. I mean, it did in Boston a few years ago in the finals. It is what it is. Draymond's—he's been around forever. You know, he's an instigator. He's always going to be in the mix, and because of his career, his championships, his fire, he's going to be a lightning rod, and that's all part of it. I would prefer, if fans could use a little more discretion and, remember that, the guy has kids and, it's like there's kids. I don't know. I just, maybe I'm old school, but I'm all for the fans cheering for their team. And if they want to yell at the opponents, great. But I don't know. I just think F you is, it's a little much.
If they were chanting F you Steph Curry, I would agree with everything Steve Kerr just said. But Draymond Green, do we just forget about 2 months ago, he spread a lie that Karl Anthony Towns missed the game because he was ducking Jimmy Butler when Karl Anthony Towns was dealing with a private matter because he had a family friend pass away because of cancer, right? That's what Draymond Green was lying about. And then also the same Draymond Green that punched his own teammate in the face and then also kicks, grown men in the cojones. All right? So, like, sorry. I'm not playing my small little violin for Draymond Green. And, oh, now we have to put, a little extra love and care with Draymond Green because God forbid that his family hears the fans chant F you Draymond when Draymond Green runs his mouth about every player in the NBA and said something about Karl Anthony Towns, which was absolutely disgraceful and despicable. It's amazing how the Golden State Warriors are the first person to really, like, hold their nose high when Draymond Green, someone goes after him. But anytime Draymond does something that makes him look like a jackass, they just look the other way. Enough. Enough with the Warriors. I love Steph Curry. The rest of the Warriors, they're, like, insufferable right now. They really are. All righty, we'll come on back when we do return. Adam Schefter with the latest on Shedeur Sanders and my final top 10 mock draft on what's going to go down tonight. Update time first. Here's Zach. Alrighty, we got three things to do before we get on out of here. Four things to do before we get on out of here. I'm going to give you my final top 10 mock draft. I'm going to give you 5 bold things I would like to see happen tonight. I'll play you this Adam Schefter sound, and I'm going to take a phone call. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We got 8 minutes to do all that. Joe in Rochester, go quickly. Joe, what do you got?
Go Bills. All right, guys, what if we make a trade with Tennessee? We send 30. We send next year's first. We send James Cook. We take Travis Hunter and get back T.K. McClendon Jr. off the defensive line from them. Hunter could be the one player that puts us in the Super Bowl.
So you're telling me that you think that the Buffalo Bills are going to be able to go up for 30 with, what, 2 extra first-round picks and James Cook to get to 1?
James Cook, 30, next year's first, and maybe you throw in one of our second. You go get the generational player that puts us over the top on both sides of the football.
I think you're going to need to then put in about 400 wings and a bunch of blue cheese to have any chance for the Tennessee Titans to say yes to that.
I'll buy the celery.
Hey, It's a fun call, Joe. I think there's a better chance that I'll be going on a date tonight with Beyonce, then followed up by Halle Berry, then followed up by Sweeney, Sydney Sweeney,
well,
then you moving up to one.
Get her a nice bottle of champagne, brother. We can make this happen.
You got it, Joe. I appreciate that. That's a great phone call. I was like, oh, give me a third name of a really attractive woman. And I go, what's that lady's last name? Oh, yeah, Sydney Sweeney. You know, that's an awesome phone call. Here's my top 10, final top 10 mock draft. This is what I think is going to happen. The Tennessee Titans are going to take the pick and trade it to Buffalo. And they'll get Travis Hunter. Just kidding. Tennessee, Cam Ward. Cleveland, Travis Hunter. Giants, Abdul Carter. Patriots, Will Campbell. Jaguars, Ashton Jeanty. Raiders, Armin Membu. Jets, Tyler Warren. Panthers, Mason Graham. Saints, Mykel Williams. Bears, Jalen Walker. That's what I think is going to be the first 10 picks. Who will be the first 10 picks of the draft tonight? Adam Schefter with the latest report on the ESPN about the draft stock of Shedeur Sanders. Here's Schefter.
On Shedeur, I think we're not going to hear his name at 2. We're not going to hear his name at 3. I don't think we're going to hear his name at 9. And so then the question becomes, is there a trade that a team that's going to trade up into the teens, which it's hard to see that right now. And so we are on a collision course to where he could go down to number 21 and the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Steelers then would have a decision to make here. And that would dictate so much because we will have seen one quarterback picked. And if they don't take Shedeur Sanders, what's the motivation for a Cleveland team that doesn't sound like it's going to be aggressive tonight on a quarterback, or even a Giants team that, despite its fans' hopes, might not be aggressive tonight on a quarterback? What's the chances that one of these teams is going to push up for a quarterback? Maybe not. So if no Shedeur at 21, we might get one quarterback tonight.
Wow. Samter, yes or no? Does Shedeur Sanders hear his name called tonight?
Yes.
Stu, yes or no? Does Shedeur Sanders hear his name called tonight?
Yes.
Where?
Late 20s, probably the Giants.
Oh, so you think the Steelers are going to pass on him?
I do.
Okay. Samter, what's the team?
No later than 21st. If a team tries to try, I don't think he's falling past the Steelers, whether Rodgers goes there or not. So I think that either a team's going to trade up ahead of the Steelers to get him or 21, but no later than 21.
I'm going to say yes to the Steelers. If it's not the Steelers, though, I don't think a trade's happening. And I think he's falling out of the first round then. But I'll still go with the Steelers. Diana Rossini just tweeted out, teams picking in the top 10 have shared over the last hour they expect the Jaguars to make a splash tonight, per sources. So that would make sense on Jeanty. That's what I think that would be. Okay. Here are 5 bold things I would like to see happen tonight. Number 1, Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders wind up on the same team and it be Cleveland. Number 2, the Giants snag Jalen Milroe. I would love to see the pairing of Brian Daboll and Jalen Milroe. Milroe, a great north and south runner, and also he has a big arm. The accuracy, though, and putting it all together, the intermediate throws are of big concern. I would love to see the Patriots take Ashton Jeanty so Mike Vrabel could go get his version of Derrick Henry at one Patriot place. 4, the Cincinnati Bengals. Haven't they been fascinating? Now, I threw out there as like a bizarre take to Perloff. Oh, maybe they go 3 wide receivers. You got Ja'Marr Chase. You got T. Higgins. Maybe you go get Golden from Texas. Could you get McMillan from Arizona? You know, is there another, maybe a Buka from Ohio State? And then Perloff was a voice of reason. He goes, they got to do something defensively. He's not wrong. Malachi Starks would be awesome for them in the secondary, especially because ever since they lost Jesse Bates, that defense has been totally different. But I'm going to say Bengals Mike Green from Marshall. They need someone to either complement Trey Hendrickson or eventually replace Trey Hendrickson. And then I have a Tet McMillan destination that I would like to see him go. How about the Denver Broncos? The Broncos had a very good season. I thought they had a bottom 5 roster in the league. They ended up making the playoffs. They lost that playoff game to Buffalo in the 2-7 matchup. But you have Bo Nix, who this time last year, not many were that optimistic or high on Bo Nix. Now a lot of people are looking at Bo Nix saying he's a good quarterback, and Denver has something right there. Still got Cortland Sutton out there in Denver, but Denver could really use another playmaker It's not as if they have the greatest playmakers in the world when you look at that team. So a lot of people think they could go running back. Like I've heard this, Omarion Hampton could be a fit there in Denver. I know they brought in Evan Ingram this offseason. If you go get Tatoa McMillan, who people are comparing to Mike Evans, and you get a legit number one weapon there, number one weapon potential for Bo Nix, I would like that a lot. All righty, look at that. I told you I would squeeze in an Adam Schefter report, my final top 10 mock draft, five bold things that I think could happen, and then also a phone call. That phone call, Joan Rochester. What do you call me, Gelbos or whatever, Gelbino, whatever. I kind of like whatever he said to me. And then he advocated for the Bills moving up to one to get Travis Hunter.
Let's call Brandon Bean.
That is sports talk radio at its finest, folks. Big thanks to Thomas Dimitroff for joining us in our chilly studio today, which I think is just the right temperature. Big thanks to also Andrew Perloff for doing the same thing. Big thanks to Stuart Kovacs. Big thanks to Michael Samter. But most importantly, a big thank you to each and every one of you, whether you call the show, whether you listen to the show, and whether you watch the show. We will be back tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific time. I don't know what we're going to be talking about which player is going where, but I can guarantee you this. We are going to have 3 hours of fun tomorrow because we are going to be reacting to all things NFL draft. And I absolutely love the draft. I can't wait to leave this studio in 20 seconds and park my fat or slightly lesser fatter ass on the couch, eat food, maybe make a drink, put out some videos, and watch a ton of draft. All righty, we out, everybody. Bye-bye. Peace.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.